Well, happy Sunday. This is PFG Live, the video podcast that asks, why are you in the shop when you can be out in the sunshine? And then never waits for the answer. Good morning. Let's see. We've got CJ Stevens checking in at 58 degrees, 89% humidity in East Tennessee. Almost Machining is here. Sunny and 57 on the northwest side of the Valley of the Sun in the Arizona. Welcome aboard. Let's see. DBX checked in with a White Plains, New York forecast of winds 110 at 3 knots, visibility 8 miles, clear, temperature 02, 2.00, altimeter 3022. Remarks unimportant. Unix Carbide is here and he's driving to New Hampshire. He's inbound, but I think he's going to arrive after we're done today. That's okay. Joshua Furman, welcome aboard, sir. Humidity 90%, pressure 995 millibars, 4 degrees science in Suffolk, UK. Welcome. We're going to talk about the UK today. AB Shop is here. Ciao. From Italy, from Alberto, the AB Shop near Venice, 10 degrees C and fog. Carl is here. Not much sun in the People's Republic of Rhode Island, 48F. Really? It's kind of, well, I guess it's sort of broken here. You'll get some. Don't worry. Widget Works has joined us. Exactly zero, exactly centigrade from, and sunny from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, our neighbor to the north. Thank you, sir. Wow, good crowd forming. Excellent. Here in Windham, New Hampshire, currently the temperature is 48 degrees Fahrenheit. I can't believe it. 55% relative humidity. Winds are out of the northwest at 9 miles an hour. However, to the north, in Manchester Airport, winds are 300 at 9 knots. Visibility 10 miles. Clouds scattered at 4,300, broken 15,000, broken 20,000, temperature 09, dew point minus 03, altimeter 2980. Remarks are unimportant. Tuck is here, 37 degrees Fahrenheit and cloudy in Buffalo, New York. Who else we got? Gray and Leaden. Wow, that's pretty fancy, Carl. The AYR, the Air Cave Shop, says, finally sunny in San Jose, California, 53 degrees Fahrenheit. Awesome. You guys are terrific. Justin has joined us, 36 degrees Fahrenheit and cloudy in Florence, Montana. Welcome, Montana. Wow. Well, I think more people are doing their thing. If there's anybody that needs to do a video report, just pop up on Discord. I'll grab you, and we'll move on. Thank you for 1,219 subscribers. That's where we're at right now. Our little counter there is working. It's been fun. We have a lot to talk about. It was a busy weekend. I had a magnificent visit from one Unix Carbide who had business to the north of me. He stopped by and we did some project work in the shop. And I'm going to share that with you today. And then he continued north. And now he's going to stop by on the way south because I finished something for him. Jeff is here. Hi, Jeff. Jeff says, mostly sunny and spring-like, 23 degrees Fahrenheit in Wasilla, Alaska. Yeah, I could see where 23 degrees is spring-like in Wasilla. Can you see my house from there? Just curious. Yeah. So Unix came by. He had two projects and to start the grinder therapy for this weekend. His first project was a straight edge. I think we have some pictures of it. I'll try to bring them up as we're talking here. His straight edge came from Lamb in England. In the UK. Let's see if I have a picture to show you. Here you go. I'll show you this picture in the slideshow. Very lovely piece, and it needed grinding. So this came into the shop as a essentially raw casting that was machined. So it had fly cut surfaces, essentially. And it was pretty good. I'd say it was, actually, I know it was almost exactly 18 inches long, but it had a funky shape to it. And the shape was quite interesting. Let me see if I can get you a side. I think I took a side shot of it. If you're only on the audio podcast, we'll have to describe the shape to you. Let's see. I have to say the casting itself was absolutely beautiful. And it had finger holes, and it had handle holes on the ends, and which I think Unix put in. Let's see. I'm looking for. I took a shot on the side. We're doing this live, people. Is that the one? Hey, no, that's not the one. The material was beautiful, and the casting was well done, and there were no voids. So, all in all, I have nothing to complain about. Let's see. I can't find a good shot for you under pressure here, but. We had to figure out how to grind this thing, and we took the largest surface, which would sit down flat. It was the main surface, and we inspected it, and we hinged it, and it was hinging on the ends, but I could not put a 1.5 thousandths feeler gauge under the center. So it was pretty darn flat. So I ended up putting it on the grinder with... almost zero magnet, little teeny itty bitty bit of magnet, and a stop to prevent it from getting pushed by the wheel. It was plenty to hold the thing. And then we did the top, which was this rib. It was like a half inch wide, or three, it was more like a 3/4 inch wide rib along the top. We made that flat with, you know, very little stress or no stress in the system. Then we flipped it over, and we wonked it down with the magnet and went to town, and we ground that bottom surface. Then we had to get the angle on this straight edge. So there was a 45 degree wedge in the shape. And I have these magnetic transfer blocks that I use on the grinder. So the magnetic transfer, they're V blocks, but they're magnetic transfer V blocks. Well, when I put that on there, I realized that the angle was not 45 degrees, and we had to start shimming it. Well, one of the surfaces that we were bearing on was a non-ground, non-machined surface, so now we had to start shimming. It turned out that the perfect shim material was one of my Kinetic Precision fridge magnets cut into strips. And we managed to shim this thing up so that it was ready for grinding. And then we went, and it came out absolutely glorious. Let's see. I'll give you a finished picture of the straight edge again. And it really came out quite lovely. Unix Carbide overnighted here. And then the next morning we hit the next project, which was this angle, this right angle, another cast from the same vendor, from Lamb. So this is Lamb. Let's see. I think the official name is Lamb and Son in England. Some of you might know who it is. I didn't, but they had a good reputation. And we got the first edge fixtured up. Let's see if I can show you a picture of that. I took the sides were, they looked blanchard ground. Here's a nice picture. The sides were blanchard ground. So it was kind of flat on both sides and kind of parallel on both sides. So we took one of the sides, laid it on the table, and it was stable and it was good. So we went. There's a picture of me grinding the sides on the surface grinder. It filled up nicely with coolant and stayed filled with coolant, so we knew it was making a pretty good seal to the table of the grinder. So we got the two sides flat and parallel. So that was our start. The next puzzle was how to hold it from there. Excuse me. So let me see if I can show you a picture of that. Let's see. And I don't know if these pictures are from Ike or from me, because, yeah, here's a good picture. He gave me all of his pictures. So this is a picture of setting up on the surface plate to see if this was going to work. We took a 6-inch square. Oh, Daniel's here. Daniel F. is reporting 8 degrees C, 79% relative humidity in London, UK. So that's two UKs today. That's excellent. Oven temperature is 180 C. Excellent. Dinner ETA, 10 minutes. What are you having? I want to know what are you making, dude? And can we come over? So we have a 6-inch square. It's called a squaring chuck. So it's a 6-inch square magnetic chuck, but you use it on edge. And it's very well calibrated. So I took the side of the triangle and I put it on that. Remember, the major surfaces now are just after having been cast. So they were ground, but not really well at all. The like angle grinder ground. So we got it set up. We got it kind of where we wanted it. And now that whole assembly, the squaring block holding the angle, goes onto the grinder. And it's pretty precarious because it's very tall and we're only holding it magnetically. We're going to have a plastic bumper under the toe of the thing, and that's it. So this was a big time sink because a lot of material had to come off of that first primary surface. And we had to take, I think, 75, I don't know if that's the one we had to take 75 thousandths, but that's a lot of grinding. And at one point, we said to each other, Daniel says something similar to Moussaka. I'm in. I think DBX is in, too. Hey, somebody tell me in the chat if, Unix, if you're driving, are you good for live audio or do you just want to listen? Just let me know, because I'm telling the story here with you in it. So we started grinding on this surface. We had to go down a long way. I couldn't get very aggressive with it because of the fixturing, so it was going to be a while. And that was a big part of our mission on Saturday morning. So we worked on that. And finally, once we got the reference edge, we were able to take that reference edge and make a much stronger setup for the next grind. And that's exactly what we did. That grind was long, but not as long as the first one. Here's a picture of setting it up on the grinder. You can kind of see how that is going and how precarious it was. Let's see. I'll get you another picture. All right. Here's the end on shot. There's the setup for the first grind. So you can see it was pretty precarious. The second grind was much stronger, and we were able to go to town on it. This is the setup for the second grind, or the second surface. Oh, you already had it. So that was very strong. So I was able to take deeper cuts. Still took a while, and we finished that surface. And then finally, we got to working on the angled surface, what we would call the hypotenuse. And that was a mystery because I figured it was some sort of standard angle and we would be able to set it up with the sine plate and go. But it was not a standard angle. Almost Machining said didn't want to lay it flat and go after it with a cup wheel on the face. No. I considered a lot of positions for this thing, and that was the best result. But this one was very rugged because it's not obvious. Let me turn the slide on again. There's a very stout little right angle from my tooling behind it So that's one right angle. The other right angle is the squaring block itself. And then not shown in this photo is I added a clamp between, once everything was stable and settled and, you know, well positioned, I added a clamp front to back, holding that against the very well magnetically held angle. And we still had a little plastic bumper under the toe of the thing. And that was great. So we were able to take more material off quicker. However, the mystery was how to get the hypotenuse ground, because the hypotenuse was, in fact, not anything standard. I scratched my head. I got on Discord, and I asked everybody if they, you know, had any experience, any knowledge of what this angle was. And we couldn't figure it out. The only hint that I had was that the two flats, which we now have ground, right, that these are the two perpendicular sides. One was 220 centimeters, and one was 25 centimeters. That's the only clue I had, and apparently none of it made sense. So in the end, I ended up fixturing it up and indicating that ground, rough ground surface, and just matched the angle that way. Here's a picture of what it looked like. Oh, you don't want to see that picture. Yeah, you want to see that picture. It's in its setup for the hypotenuse. Now, in this picture, we're looking at the angle being held by the squaring plate, squaring chuck, on the back. And on the side, we have a sine plate, which is supporting it for the angle. Well, in this photo, it is set up for what was a logical angle, and it was just not it, as you can tell. So that was before we indicated it and started grinding it. So we, long story short, that went really well, and it was very, very stable. And it resulted in, I'm going to show it to you live here if you're watching. Here it is. Here's the angle live. And it came out absolutely gloriously. There it is, Lamb and Son, England. Our UK guys, do you recognize this name? He did the castings, and 100% of the grinding is what was done yesterday. So this came out really super sweet. The only defects you're seeing on the surface are fingerprints and oil. It really came out super nice. Hey, Robin, how are you? So, Robin, you know this guy? Is he a regular somewhere? So the casting is gorgeous. It really came out nice. And the end result was good. Carl Tauber says he's on Instagram. Okay, I will throw him a follow as soon as I find him. The material was just phenomenal. Like, there was zero defects, and it behaved quite nicely. So very excited. Very excited to deliver it to Ike today and send him down the road with it. Black Sheep Cross member. Okay. Black Sheep Cross member. I will check it out. There we go. Written down on my 3x5 file card. So both of these, the straight edge, and this angle both came from them, and it was great. It did take quite a while, though, I will tell you that. And having a robot do the work is huge, because I would have lost my mind. And actually, here's what I realized. I realized if you were doing this manually, you would do things that you're not going to ask a CNC to do, right? You would take a very heavy cut that you'd be like a pseudo creep feed on the grinder. And, you know, you can't, there's no convenient way to do that. On the other hand, you tell the robot, you know, take a thousandth on each pass, step over this much, And one of the tricks I did is I increased the step over while I was watching the load on the load meter on the grinder, and the load meter was giving me hints about how hard it was working, and I didn't want it to work terribly hard, and I was using my ears, so I set it to something reasonably aggressive, and then we went and sat and either had lunch or we schmoozed outside for a while the robot was working. And that's how we got through that project. But it did take a while, and it was worth it. Now, I will also say that I used the Norton 5SG wheel on the cast iron. And once again, Robin, you'll remember the story when I was doing the table of my Brown & Sharp grinder. When I got it, I had to grind the table, and I was getting some burning. And you said to me, you're using the wrong wheel. I was using a white wheel. And you said, go to silicon carbide. And it was just like somebody threw a switch. Well, this is the 5SG wheel. And it is, it just came out glorious with absolutely no issues. So I could highly recommend the 5SG wheel. As an all-purpose, does everything wheel. They do not give them away. They're like triple the price of a white wheel. Surface like a mirror. Well, it's almost like a mirror. The trouble with perfection, no, that's okay, I got you. The trouble with perfection is you're never there. So it really did come out quite nice. It is possible that on some of these or all of these, Unix Carbide is going to flake it, but I'm not 100% sure. Shadow is here. Hello. He says, lap it. I have time. I have time before Unix Carbide gets here. I can go downstairs and lap it to a mirror. That'd be pretty funny. Okay. So it's the wheel I use is a 5SG 46i. And I picked it specifically to be my all-purpose wheel. The reason I started with that wheel, the 5SG material, is in conversations with John Grimsmo. By the way, just a little John Grimsmo commercial here. There's my Grimsmo saga in use every day here. In conversations with John, he was... This was before he got his grinder, I think, or maybe just after he got his grinder. And I did some experiments for him on his knife material and different wheels. And, Jeff says, that's my go-to all-purpose wheel as well. Isn't that a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. So I did a bunch of, standard wheels that most of which I had around, and then I did some research and came up with this wheel and ordered one and tried it on John's knife blade material, and it was glorious. It was really nice. And then that same material I used on which cast material, I don't exactly remember, but I used it on cast. It worked great. I used it on, I think, stainless. I certainly used it on tool steel. It worked great. So if anybody wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and says you have only one, you can only buy one wheel, what wheel do you want? The answer is 5SG from Norton. It was pretty stinking nice. So, fun, project, in the shop. I call it grinder therapy. It was a lot of fun. Pretty awesome. I don't get to grind enough not stones because every weekend I end up grinding stones, and this weekend I intentionally got caught up last weekend and got some stuff into stock, and I knew that I could have a weekend doing this stuff, so that was kind of neat. What materials do you use the 5SG on, Jeff? I know you said it's your general purpose wheel, but what kind of stuff are you doing right now? Inquiring minds want to know. A couple of shout outs. I want to say big thank yous to, well, of course, to Unix Carbide for bringing up Yummies. And there's another story coming that he's involved with. But we had some bagels and lox and cream cheese from Brooklyn, and they were still fresh. It was so good. That was pretty awesome. Also, he stopped by and visited DBX, and DBX sent some goodies up, and I thank you again. And also, we have some stickers. I'm going to get to the stickers in a minute. Baca Fish, thank you very much. Baca and I did some horse trading, and we'll talk about that in a second. And Widget Works. So Widget Works, who is not, is he? Yeah, he's in the Discord. There he is. So Widget Works gave permission for us to use his artwork that we put up in the shop. We put a big banner up in the shop, and we made stickers from the artwork. And it still says in the corner, it says Widget Works Manufacturing. And it says, "We do this not because it is easy, but because we thought it would be." So we took Widget Works artwork and made stickers. And actually, Widget Works got a place of honor on the sticker board. And we're going to figure out how we can get these out. If you buy a sticker pack from Kinetic Precision, these will be in the sticker pack. Let's see. Unix Carbide says Foster Featherweight. I don't know what that means. There you go. Straight Edge is Dennis Foster. Okay, got it. So the Straight Edge is not a lamb. It's from Dennis Foster in Washington, and it's called a Foster Featherweight. I don't have that because Ike has it, but that is the name of that Straight Edge. And let's see if I have a better Straight Edge picture. It was pretty slick. Let's see. I thought I took a picture of the end of it, which shows the cross section. This is exciting radio, isn't it? Let's see. No, not that one. Anyway, I will post on Instagram a picture of the cross section of that very interesting. Did you pull off the road just to tell us that? Thank you very much. Jeff says he is doing shop made tooling in 4140, A2, and Durabar, which is a cast. It ground a fixture plate and pallet of Freemax 15 really well. Also, yeah, this wheel is awesome. Again, they don't give it away, but that's the one, 5SG. So, let's see. Jeff says an 8620 cylinder square grounds pretty nicely. Just a great grind everything stone. So let's see. You've mentioned 4140, A2, Durabar, Freemax 15, 8620. I did cast iron with it. I did, the titanium, I don't remember the name of the alloy that the Grimsmo's blades are, but it did that gloriously. Yeah, haven't found anything it doesn't do. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have other wheels, but boy howdy. So I went to my air gas dealer where I buy all my Norton stones, my raw materials for PFG stones. By the way, this is brought to you by PFG stones. .com. And if you don't have PFG stones, the question is, when are you getting them? Flat is where it's at. So when I go down there for all my stones, I went in there and I said, hey, can you guys get me? Oh, thank you, Tuck. Tuck says CPM 154. Is that the blade material? Yeah, it's just that this wheel has done everything. So I asked them to order it for me, and they said, oh, geez, you know, we got to put a case of this stuff in. And I said, look, I'll order a couple of wheels. And I got the big ones, the 8-inch, 8-inch by 3/4, I think. So there, I have a couple here of the big ones, and then the remainder of that case is sitting a couple miles away on a shelf. So there, if anybody can't find one, let me know. So that was grinding. It was really cool. And I won't tell you what time I got to sleep this morning, but we got everything done and it looks glorious. I'll give you one more look at this gorgeous lamb angle. And the straight edge was equally glorious. So the straight edge was marked with a year. It was 2019. So it was cast in 2019. So I figured, you know, sitting around for 5 years wasn't bad for stability. So we didn't do anything weird as far as stabilizing it. All right. So if you guys have any questions on any of those topics, just put them in the chat and we'll try to get to them. So that's a story on grinder therapy. Very exciting. So I mentioned stickers, and I showed you the WidgetWorks stickers that we made. And then I got a gift from DBX. DBX, by the way, DBX has made it up on the leaderboard. There's one of his stickers, because he sent me a whole boatload of really cool stickers. I'm just going to show you one additional one, which I really like. And this is his sticker. It says, "Nothing is a mistake." I love it. So thank you very much, DBX. We'll get you some consulting clients out of this. What do you think? Very creative. He designed the bag. Look at this. Super, super cool. Thank you for stickers and being a supporter here. Let's see. Who else we got? So Bacafish and I. Oh, there's a picture. WidgetWorks just posted a picture. Is that our favorite? I can't quite see it. Lovely. 5SG. So the 5SG is now represented in all over the world. Awesome. So Bacafish and I did a little horse trading, and I sent some stones, hand-carried, two sets of PFG stones, hand-carried, to Japan, to Tokyo, by my good friend Ike, and he's awesome. So he took the stones, and he brought back, again, hand-carried in his luggage, he brought back goodies for me, and I want to share them with you. These came from Bacafish. What a great guy. Really enjoyed knowing him through the Discord server. So the first one I'll show you is a boring head. So you may recall some number of weeks, WidgetWorks says that his wheel is 14 inches in diameter. Listen, dude, we're not comparing here, okay? We kind of are, but we're not. Okay, moving on. So I broke a boring head pretty stupidly. I made a bit of a rookie error. It shouldn't have broken, but it broke, but it shouldn't have, but it did. And basically, I overstressed the tool. It broke. I was bummed. That was a Centurion boring head, which I really like. It was a nice little small size. I have since bought another one off eBay, and that's its own project. But I was offered a boring head by Bacafish, which is sort of in the same class as what we know as a Wohlhopter, except it's Japanese made by a company called, wait for it, KKS. And here it is. So this is a KKS Focus. Thank you. The Focus. Thank you. Nope. Really? Seriously, Focus. I'm not kidding. Dude, what is it? Oh, there we go. It's KKS is the brand. And it is a glorious looking boring head. And it's got all the controls and all the weird knobs and things that I don't know how to use yet. Isn't it? Josh says that's a work of art. It is a work of art. And apparently, and I got to talk to Bacafish, the only thing I need to do is there's some action I need to do on this sleeve, but we could rotary grind that. I don't see a problem there. So there's a little bit of rotary grinding that's going to happen here. But look at that boring head. Isn't that gorgeous? And I'm not going to lift it up, but I have the wooden box, and the wooden box has all the blivets and the widgets and the things. So thank you very much, Bacafish. This is part of our exchange of gifts. This was an exchange of gifts, and I appreciate that very much. Facing, grooving. This will change the oil in your car. And it will replace windshields automatically. No, it's true. So that was one of the items, but the pièce de résistance is coming up. So buckle in. The other item that I got from Bacafish, which has been pictured on this PFG Live, was AB Shop says, I have a UPA3 wall helper made in Germany. In 1973, very similar to yours, wonderful boring head. I can't wait to try this thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, very excited. Yes, Robin, a removable taper sleeve on the boring head. I'm going to figure it out. I have not spent 5 minutes looking at this thing in any detail, but it needs a little love on the sleeve, but that's it. The head itself is in perfect condition. So I'll talk to you about it. You probably have some experience with this flavor of boring head. But you ready? You ready for a Nikon autocollimator? Oh. Here it is, and it's perfect. So this is a Nikon autocollimator. Okay. I have no idea how to use it. So one of these inputs, let's see which one is which. This is the look in. This is where you put your eyeball, okay? And there's some sort of either measuring or focusing. It's probably a measuring reticle here. And then there's a light source you put in here. We're going to have to make an adapter for like an LED flashlight light source. But look at this fantastic prism setup. You can rotate this and it clicks into position. So you could have your eye here, okay? Or you could have your eye here. Then it's got this precision cylinder, okay? For mounting, however you want to mount it. And then in the front, if you're a Nikon guy, stand by, okay? In the front, Nikon glass, baby. So I am very, very excited. And then apparently this control here has to do with compensating for a non-flat mirror. I don't understand it yet, but 100%, I assume we can call it a percent, is sort of the nominal setting. And then this thing will go on either side of 100%. So the really cool thing is that Bacafish printed out of TPU custom covers for all the ports, and they're really nice. So thank you very much for doing all that. So this, we have to get this on the air and get this working. And I will be talking to our good friend Adam Balog, who has become the resident autocollimator expert. And apparently this was a special, a non-standard one, but anyway, I'm really excited. And this cylinder is gorgeous. There's one tiny thing that desperately needs to see a PFG stone. I can't even find it now. That's how bad it is. Oh, there it is. Little tiny itty bitty speck right there that will stone right up. But thank you very much, Bacafish. But thank you very, very much to Unix Carbide for being the very willing and outstandingly talented mule and hauling this stuff literally around the planet. Thank you very much. Greenwood asks, isn't the rotary doohickey to allow measurements in two axes? Sir, I have no idea, but we will report. If you don't think there's a video coming, you are wrong. There's a video coming. We will make this thing earn its money. So that's the story on the two goodies. We call that auto-collimated boring. And we'll be getting that on the air. Let's see. So I played bass for auto-collimated boring back in the 80s. Yeah, Unix Carbide, Tuck says Unix Carbide did a great job being a trade caravan. He did. And I think it's awesome, and it'll be a lot of fun. I just want to look at the lamb angle again. Can we have a minute? Okay. Enough of that. So while, I don't know if we got to talk about this, Ike, when you were here. Last week, I put out a call on the Discord server for what people were paying for a shop rental. You know, a lot of people are in a commercial space and they're paying rent basically. I just noticed WidgetWorks said that his 14-inch 5SG wheel cost over $1,000 Canadian Kanuckistan dollars for one. Oh God. I'm pretty happy with my 8-inch wheels. Did I mention that? Holy cow. So I got data from, I don't know, five different people with respect to how much you're paying for shop space. And I kind of was formulating this idea, which I want to lay before the group and see if this is a useful idea. I'm going to use the number $2 per square foot per month. It's in the middle somewhere. It's not cheap. It's not expensive. It's sort of in there. And if you could feel free to disagree with me in the chat if you want. At $2 per square foot per month, you now have a benchmark. Now, I'm in a situation where I do not rent my space. I own my space. In fact, I'm sitting on top of my shop right now. If you bored a hole through the floor where I'm sitting right now, we would land on the heat treating ovens. That's where we would land. So when you go to your shop, and I did this, you go to your shop and you look around, I want you to look at stuff and like that bandsaw in the corner, how many square feet does it take up? Well, it's about 9 square feet. So 9 times 2 is 18. So I want you to mentally think that you are paying $18 a month for that bandsaw to be in your shop. No judgment, no positive, no negative. That's how much you're paying for that bandsaw to be in your shop, $18 a month. Look at your lathe, okay? My lathe is probably I'm going to call it 25 square feet, you know, more or less with all the accoutrements. So 25 times 2 is $50 a month. So that lathe sitting there costs me $50 a month. Okay. Here's where it gets interesting. I'm just picking this out of the air. I have a sheet metal notcher on a stand that I made with wheels that can roll around the shop. And it takes up about, let's just say, 4 square feet. So 4 times 2 is 8. So that is costing me $8 a month to sit there. I could promise you I did not use it in the last... Well, I didn't use it in the last 12 months. So that there's $100 in that thing sitting in my shop. If you do this exercise and you start looking at things that way, all of a sudden, I could promise you there are some things that you will look at and you will say, that ain't worth it. Why am I spending that $4 a month for that crate of, you know, railroad spikes to sit there? Is that worth it to me? And you will have things that where you say, no, that's not worth it to me anymore. And you'll get rid of it. I had a box of containers, good containers. That's why I kept them, that I used for a project. Had to be 50 little plastic containers that I bought from McMaster Car. It was for an engineering project, a science experiment. We did a science experiment. When we were all done, we had all these containers. And I kept them because they're good containers. Well, I looked at them and I said, those sitting there are costing me, let's say, $4 a month. Is it worth it? And the answer came back, no. So when Unix Carbide was here, I said, hey, can you use these? And he's like, because he just moved into it relatively recently, moved into a new shop that's a little bigger, you know, doing organization. And he said, yeah, I could use those. I'm like, okay, guess where they went? They went with him. So let's see. WidgetWork says, fun fact, if you do this exercise in your home, you'll end up divorced. I didn't say do it in your home, okay? Dude, just listen to what the words I'm saying. Tuck says, I have recently done the same calculation but never put a number to it. Just look at what isn't used and start trying to move them along. Yes, I totally get it. But when you put a number on it, measurable in real U.S. dollars or Canadian Canuckistans or pounds, sterling. You're going to find it, your brain gets it. It's like, oh, that's a real value. I can relate that to other things. And all of a sudden I promise you, there's something you're going to get rid of. Yeah. Robin says, unless the charged area decreases when you remove something, it's irrelevant. Unless the charged area decreases when you remove something, it's, well, my point is that I'm going to guess that our shops are overloaded. I think if you look up the definition of the word shop. Now, Robin, I know that you need to like set appointments for air molecules to fit into your shop. And that you get calls from the National Institute of Science and Technology requesting that you stop warping the gravity field in your area. But I find that this is a way to get rid of clutter. Almost says, almost in talking about the autocollimator, he says it is for, this is the ring I was pointing at. It is for moving the singular measurement reticle on the alt axis plane. Works great when the mirror slide is against a fixed surface or on a V-way, though needs to be reset with each twist. Dude, I believe you. I just have no idea what you're talking about. So we will get some learning here. I think between Robin and Adam Balog and you and everybody else, I will figure out how to use this thing. But we'll get there. So this is the decluttering with money, is giving your brain a real dollar amount to think about. If you said to me, hey, your grinder, like my grinding setup, takes up about, I'm going to call it 5 by 10, 50 square feet times 2 is $100 a month. That grinder sitting there is costing $100 a month. I would pay that all day long. No question about it. So that's an easy one. Oh, you mean the ring by the eyepiece almost. So almost says, not the front ring, that's different. Probably does something with the wave degree of the mirror. Yes, pay yourself for your own rental space. Absolutely. So Tuck says, and I believe correctly, so if I could stack CNC machines, I'm making more money. Yes. So in my shop, I have a pallet rack. It looks like Home Depot. It's the same colors. I have a pallet rack for storage because I have these unfortunate 13-foot ceilings, and I have to use up as much as possible. Well, that pallet rack earns its keep because it does exactly that. It makes use of the airspace above it. And I think that's a fine way to think about it. A gentleman by the name of Adam Brunette says, what about items that have space value that you don't use but can't justify getting rid of, either because you would never cannot justify getting rid of either because you would never be able to replace them? That is totally fine, I think, philosophically, absolutely fine. You just have to acknowledge, like, for example, I have the Moore rotary table, okay, in its beautiful wooden box. And that's worth about, call it 3 square feet. 3 times 2 is 6. I pay $6 a month for that Moore rotary table to sit there in a safe place for perhaps a future project, but just makes me feel better knowing that it's there. Is that worth $6 a month? Answer, yes. That's it. That's all you got to do. You just got to put a number on it. And welcome to the channel, Mr. Brunette. I think you're new. Are you new? I think you're pretty new. Greenwood AG says, you are describing the difference between a shop that is actually making money versus a hobby shop that is for the owner's gratification. I am going to respectfully, sir, disagree with you. Because I think our hobby stuff, we value, right? I just described the Moore rotary table. It's not making me a nickel. It doesn't make me a penny. But the $6 a month it costs me to have it sitting on my floor, I will pay happily. So there's an example of something which is really a hobby purchase, but I just have to acknowledge that it costs real money. So I get a phone call. This is a couple of years ago. I get a phone call from a woman whose husband was sadly deceased. He was a ham radio operator. He did work in the communications industry. I went over to the house. I volunteered to help figure out what was there, what had value, what didn't have value. This guy had a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And frankly, had this process been gone through while the gentleman was alive, he would have had a lot less stuff. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. This happens a lot. So no, I would respectfully disagree. I think even in a hobby situation, you have to recognize you're living somewhere, you're paying for that space one way or another. Your hobby lathe, your hobby welder, your hobby collection of figurines, they're all using up space in your living quarters. I call it $2 a square foot. I'll fight you over it. Tuck said, yeah, okay, so we already stacked the CNC machines. Almost Machining says, the rental square foot space is calculated into the machine cost per occupied footage, down to the minute on time, off time, right? Yeah, if it exists, it's costing you money. I think I'm being pretty brutal here. And nobody wants to admit that the bookshelf over there, which is about, I don't know, let's call it 3 square feet, has books on it that I have not touched in 10 years. Okay? So if you said to me, get rid of the bookshelf, I would say, it's $6 a month. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with $6 a month. That's all. No judgment. You just have to be okay with that number. But it puts it in a different light in your brain, because there will be things that you look at and you go, I'm paying $6 a month, so that could be in my domicile? Whoosh, gone. I took 80 pounds of books to donate last week because those books were not sparking joy. DBX. Yeah, Marie. This is Marie Kondo for shops. Spark joy. Yeah. Exactly. Almost says, because you could in turn rent rental space at a much lower rate. What? I don't care about the rate. $2 a square foot is my number. I'm sticking to it. It does the right thing in your brain. If you own 600 acres of land and it costs you nothing to own that land and you want to collect old rusty cars, have at it. Just don't tell me it's free. It's not free. And I'll fight you over it. Unix says, may I make a quick comment? Pulled over. Yeah. Yeah, show up. Turn on your thing here. You could make a quick comment. You could do it in audio, video, both, or text only. I respect your life choices. I'm watching for you to, let's see. I'm going to turn on the, okay, so the Discord video and audio is, the Discord audio is on. Can you hear me? Almost says, car gardens are not the same unless you grow washer and dryers as well. Yeah, that's kind of, you know what I'm talking about in your backyard, right? Carl says, I recently threw out my 1974 RCA receiving tube manual. It still hurts. So there is a place that I discovered in Massachusetts, actually between you and me, Carl, almost, I wouldn't say exactly halfway. It's a little closer to me. It's in Burlington, Mass. It's called the Used Book Superstore. And if you go to usedbooksuperstore.com, you'll find their website. They take donations. They will buy books from you, whatever you want to do. And I have given them lots of stuff. Let's see. Unix Carbide is here to make a comment. You're muted, but if you unmute, you are weapons free.
How's that?
Yeah. We hear you. We see you.
I have comments on all topics. On this topic in particular, I'm sitting here listening in the car as somebody gave me these containers in a box that I've got in the back, and I started doing the math in my head as we're going here. So, Spencer, I got some stuff to drop off at your place in a little bit. ETA is about an hour.
The place is going to be locked and dark.
Yeah. No, this is a good show I was just listening to. They had some good things to say about thinking about your space, you know. I know everybody knows this guy does his thing with stones, right? But I can't tell you thank you enough. And, you know, on your own show, thank you. Really, really excited. I feel like I just spent 2 days in a master class for grinding, right? And watching anybody who really knows what they're doing make anything is amazing, right? And being able to stand there. There's another thing I realized when I was realizing how exhausted I was once I got up north further, that, you know, you can stand around for 2 days and not be tired. I was so engaged and enthralled with everything I was watching, learning, and the amount of info that you were graciously letting me ask questions about every knob, twist, turn, little piece of everything, that I was exhausted, realizing I had just consumed this incredible amount of grinding info. It was a blast. Just want to say thank you. And anybody who has the chance to watch this guy grind, take it.
I'm honored. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
Yeah,
it was, and being with you is also exhausting. You know, we did have a blast, I have to say, and I knew that Unix has the detail brain, so I turned up the details to 11 and told him everything I was doing. Now we just have to get. Yeah, it was a hoot. It was a hoot. I think now we just have to go visit Robin. You think we're exhausted now?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Well, and now these tools are going to go back to Brooklyn, New York. They're going to basically elevate. I mean, I knew my neighborhood, being gentrified as it has been, has gotten really square, but I'm really going to try and take that to the next level when I get back. This is going to be good.
Yeah. You, sir, are a square. No, really. That's a compliment.
Yes. Yes. Come over here. Come over here. I'm going to show you something real quick.
Let me get my cylinder square. So, it was my pleasure. It was fun. And I'll see you in, 15.
No, maybe not. Time.
Okay. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
All right.
Later. Bye.
Go have some more finger sandwiches over there. Okay. See ya. Okay. let's see. DBX made a comment. He said, before we get to DBX, Greenwood says, I'm not disagreeing. That's a phrase I use a lot. The justification is just different. My hobby stuff just makes me happy. It's definitely an exercise that makes one think. That's it. If it causes you to run the process in your head, that's kind of my goal. And first, it's my goal for me. And if it helps you, awesome. But it does. It has helped me a lot on stuff. And it's like I'm getting rid of stuff that doesn't earn its keep. That more rotary table. By the way, Unix Carbide, when you come back, you didn't touch the more rotary table. You're invited to touch it. just saying. It one day will do some projects with it, but it's not going to make me any money. But if you said to me, is that worth $6 a month to you to keep it there? The answer is you damn right it is. Of course, my son's gone now. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. Jared, I'm kidding. DBX says, quoting Jeff Foxworthy, you know you're a redneck if you have a washer and a dryer on your front porch. You know you're a redneck if you know how many bales of hay fit in the back seat of your Camaro. Oh, that's why I have a truck now, dude. Okay. So that was my, we need a name for this metric. What do we call this metric? So there's the hive mind challenge is what are we naming this metric? I'm going to stick to $2 a square foot. I know it's cheaper or more expensive in different places. I know you can make the argument that, you know, you own 1,000 acres and you own it free and clear and that it's not $2 a square foot. Let's just use that as a mental exercise. And I want some feedback from you guys as to how that has or has not helped you make some decisions in the shop, in the house, in the barn. And there you go. We have come to the top of the hour. It is now actually 1 minute. I will read you this warning I just got. Heavy snowfall for Windham, New Hampshire from 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. The snow may cause hazardous driving conditions with low visibility. Please check local sources for more information. Unix Carbide will be back at home in bed before 2 a.m., but we have a snowstorm coming. I will be spending some time today getting ready for it. I believe we have hit all the high points. Did I miss anything? Anybody? Nothing? Okay. This was fun. I wish all you guys a glorious weekend. Oh, interesting. So DBX says, I say the metric should be referred to as the Oliver in lineage with the Smoot. Where's Oliver coming from? What am I missing on Oliver? Do I need an education? You could save it for the after show. If Oliver R. Smoot. Yeah, but I came up with it. So let's call it the PFG. We'll figure something out. Okay. Have a great weekend, everybody. This was fun. If you're driving, drive safely. If you're not driving, do that safely also. Go count your square feet. Pay yourself $2 per square foot and tell me if it's worth it. I want to hear from you. We will be in the after party roundtable section of the Discord server after this. You're welcome to join us. We will be discussing the most important possible things there are anywhere. Thanks again to everybody who donated, gave, helped, Unix Carbide, DBX, Bakafish, WidgetWorks. I'm forgetting people, I'm sure. Currently in the Discord server, we have DBX, Unix Carbide, Tuck, Justin P., Almost Machining, WidgetWorks, Daniel F., Carl Tauber, Josh, Thomas Hardy, and Brian Rodney. And let's see, in the YouTubes, we have Greenwood AG, Almost Machining, AB Shop, Carl Tauber. Carl, you're in both places. And many others, and I thank you for being here. With that, I'm going to wish you all a great weekend. We'll see you guys next week. Get flat, stay flat. This has been PFG Live.